So Stephen has started to introduce me. So I'm Rob. I've been coming to this church for a couple of years. I normally come in the evening service, so I don't get to see so many of you as regularly as perhaps I'd like. I started my faith journey in about 2002, 2003 in a church down near Southampton when I went on an Alpha course there. And I have led here what an Alpha course about a year ago, which quite a lot of you came on. So you've all had a chance to experience the course like that. And I'm quite passionate about people being able to spend time learning a bit about God through that. It's not a magic thing, it's just a really good way of presenting God's word. This morning we're going to just look at a bit of the Bible, which talks about why we should share our faith, a little bit how we should share our faith, and to sort of give a bit of a background and some encouragement to you all in this area. So we're going to look at a book of the Bible, which is 2 Corinthians. We've got a little slide, hopefully, coming up. So 2 Corinthians is found in the New Testament part of the Bible. 2 Corinthians is a letter which was written by Paul. Now, Paul was a very significant figure in the Bible. So 2 Corinthians, New Testament, so that's the part of the Bible written after Jesus. And the types of there are lots of books in the Bible, they're of different types. And this is one of the series of letters which Paul wrote. Sorry, rambling slightly. You can find this in your blue Bible, which should be in front of you. It's page 815. So Paul started out as a Jew. He was educated very deeply in the scriptures, and he was destined to become a member of what's known as the Sanhedrin, which was the sort of the legal court of the Jewish religion in Jerusalem. He was involved in persecuting Christians. He was probably in the Sanhedrin when the judgment was passed to execute Stephen, one of the very early apostles, and he certainly was there whilst he was stoned and executed. But Paul's life was totally transformed, totally changed. He was journeying when God came to him in a very powerful way, blinded him and spoke directly to him and convinced him to follow Jesus. So it's one of the most remarkable transformations of the people's life from, in this case, actively persecuting Christians to going on to being one of the outstanding people to evangelize, as we would call it now, but to spread the word of God, and not just to the Jewish people, but throughout what we call the where's it gone from me?
Gentiles,
thank you. Which are people who are not Jews. And we've actually, very fortunately, we've got a picture of Paul. This was taken whilst he was writing the letters. This is an actual picture of Paul. So we're very fortunate to have that. I do have a silly sense of humour. And I did come across a joke. It's not connected to Paul, but the joke, I do like silly jokes as well. How does Moses make tea? He brews. Terrible joke. The bigger the grain, the better. Right, so we're going to read from 2 Corinthians, page 815 in your blue Bible. So it's 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go from 4, verse 1 through to 18, and then a little bit skipping to 5, 16 to 20. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Now, the ministry that's being talked about is what's known as the Great Commission, the ministry, which is to go and spread God's word to people. God has given it to us And as such, we should be confident that God will help us. And this isn't a ministry given just to Stephen, to myself, or anybody seen as being in a position of authority. This is a ministry given to all believers. The church that I used to go to in Southampton had a phrase which said, "We are an all-member ministry church. All of the people in the church are ministers." Yeah. In fact, they changed the name of the minister to being a pastor for that very reason. Yeah. So reading on a bit further. "Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God." And we don't need to distort anything. We don't need to distort the word of God. We can just tell it as it is. And again, Alpha is very good at helping us to be able just to tell it as it is. "On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God," and that's a God with a small g, so as Stephen was talking earlier, this is talking about Satan and the evil forces in the world. "The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Even though there's this veil of people who can't see, that can't understand for whatever reason, it's not a permanent veil necessarily. It doesn't mean say that people cannot have this veil lifted and see. Just in the way that Paul's veil was lifted and he changed his mind. So through our ministry that we've been given, we are privileged to be able to help to lift this veil. But we must also be aware that this isn't going to necessarily 100% happen. And, people may not change their mind. They may not have the veil lifted. And it's important to build a relationship with people rather than just going in and trying to tell them. Now, Theodore Roosevelt once said, "Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care." So one of the best ways of helping people to understand Jesus and to know about them is to get to know them, spend time with them and show them that you care. And that's quite a lot of what Alpha is about. So it's a great platform to be able to talk about Jesus. But most of the time, what is actually going on, we are listening to people and we are helping them to go on the journey through that rather than just telling people. So reading on a bit further. "For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as servants for Jesus' sake." Sometimes it can be intimidating if you think, like I'm trying to do now, it's up to me. It's up to me to be the speaker, to talk, and we can find this intimidating. But it's not of ourselves. We're not talking about ourselves. We're not the attraction in this. We're not having to be something amazing. We've got Jesus, who is amazing, and all we need to do is point to that. Yeah. Reading on a little bit further. "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ." Elsewhere in the Bible, it talks about a lamp and not putting this lamp under a bowl. If you have a light, you don't put it somewhere in darkness. So this is encouraging us to take this light and let it shine. So we need to get out there and we need to show people and tell people and not hide this away. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed." So even though we are these jars of clay, we are temporary, we will be broken, we will go back to dust. Even though life is difficult, sometimes we feel like we're not making progress in reaching people, and things go wrong. And as the Bible says, we are hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. We don't have to rely on our own strength. God will help us with this mission. It's his mission, after all.
Yeah.
He is there to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be relieved in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. So this is a very positive part of the message. Even though we are given over to death, which is another way of saying, you know, we are dying, but also we give ourselves over to Jesus' death, which gives us that resurrection. There's lots of life. It's fantastic. But the flip side of that is, without this great news, without God's grace and mercy to count us amongst himself for the ultimate resurrection, the flip side of that is anybody who's not in Jesus will not experience that. So we have to also get hold of a sense of urgency that we need to share this message with people for their sake. Charles Spurgeon was a very well-known preacher, very influential in churches to this day. And he said, if sinners will be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our bodies. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms around their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, at least let it be filled in the teeth of our exertions, and let no one go there unwarned and unprayed for. Yeah. So this is exalting us to get on with it, basically. And I know it's difficult sometimes. Should we say to ourselves, well, shall we bother to you know, this person's not going to be interested in the message. They may not want to know this. It's embarrassing. There are lots of reasons why we may not want to share this. But I've always been amazed the number of times that I've thought this and tell I shan't I, and the positive reaction I get has far outweighed the negative reactions. A few weeks ago, I was with one of my work colleagues. I have to be a little careful because I'm the boss, so I don't try and be too overt in what I say. But the guy I was working with brought this up and sort of asked me a bit about this. And so I spent 5 to 10 minutes talking to him. And you can expect a reaction sometimes, a very negative and very difficult. But it was a really positive encounter. And it's just one of those steps that helps to bring people along this journey. And you can always ask. You can say, you know, people can say no. But you might as well ask and let them say no to you this time. But you may get a yes, and if you hadn't bothered to ask or hadn't felt confident enough to ask, you wouldn't have got that yes. So reading a little bit further on, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all.
Yeah.
So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I hadn't become a Christian for very long when I sat in my living room. And I looked around, and having read this, and I thought, that's fantastic. That's a really interesting way of looking at things. Everything I can see, the building, the bricks, and then I started thinking outside my living room. Everything, all the cars, all of the, everything will disappear. It's all temporary. There's no ultimate longevity to that. But it goes on to say that what is unseen is eternal. And when you think about that, the relationships that we have with people, the love that we have for people, the faith that we have, all of these intangible, untouchable things will go on forever. So we are, it's only sensible to invest our time and our effort into that eternal, those eternal things. Skipping slightly on now, we're going 2 Corinthians 5:16-20. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. And to me, this says that we can look at somebody and we can, in a worldly way, and say, well, they're a bit, or a bit this, or they're very aggressive, or I don't think they're really the sort of person that I can see in church. That's looking at people in a very worldly way. God doesn't do that. He looks at us all in a way, and he wants us all to come to Jesus. And Saul, or Paul, as he became, is the almost the ultimate demonstration of that. The person who you would least want to be in church with you, as Saul, was the person who went on to be one of the greatest evangelists ever. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. And this really is saying, you know, this is the message, he's given it to us, we are his ambassadors.
Yeah.
It really leaves very little room for doubt. There is no opt-out, and when you read through all of this passage, this is our mission, this is what we need to do, and just as Hannah's been doing, we need to go and share wherever it is, whether it's in South America or Norway or next door. And we are starting an Alpha course. It starts on the 26th of February, which is a Wednesday. We're going to start it at 7 p.m. It takes about 2 hours to do, and it will run for a number of weeks. The most important thing I can ask of you is that you pray about and think about who you could invite on this course. It's really important that we start to reach people and bring them along. But we also do need some help in practical terms, for people to be enabling the discussions, to be greeting people, and we also serve some food as well, so we would be looking for people to help volunteer with the food. If anybody feels that they could assist and would like to help, then I'd love to hear from you. If you could come and see me, that would be great. If not, please pray about who you could invite. On your chairs there are invitations that you can take away and give to people, but it's also that relational invitation which is so important. Well, thank you for putting up with me this morning, and it's been very enjoyable to speak to you all, and I look forward to catching up with you some more over tea and coffee, which will be served later.